This is Collecting Light,
an exploration of Arizona astronomy
from Arizona Public Media.
It's another night at another Arizona observatory. The dome doors slide open to reveal the night sky, and the telescope's primary and secondary mirrors begin collecting light. Astronomers want to make sure that the only light hitting the mirror is from distant objects in the night sky. Lori Allen is deputy director of Kitt Peak National Observatory west of Tucson.
In astronomical research, we're, of course, digging out the signal from the sky, the signal from sometimes extremely faint, extremely distant objects, objects that are on the observable edge of our universe. Any additional brightening of the sky makes it harder to see those objects against that bright background.
Allen says Arizona became a center for astronomy specifically because of its lack of clouds, number of high remote mountaintops, and of course, its dark skies.
We have been able to keep those skies dark enough that we not only do frontline astronomical research now, but we're attracting new, very large projects to Arizona, to our mountaintop observatories, to do experiments that can't be done anywhere else. These projects are coming to Arizona in part because our skies have remained dark.
Light pollution is actually a statewide issue.
Richard Green is the director of the Large Binocular Telescope on Mount Graham in eastern Arizona. It's the most isolated of all of Arizona's observatories, more than 100 miles from Tucson and Phoenix. Green says that helps make Mount Graham a good place to observe, but it's not perfect.
We are still relatively dark, which is very good. And in fact, in the recent minimum of solar activity, we measured sky brightnesses as dark as that of any professional observatory. So that's good. That number is at zenith straight up. If we look to the western horizon, we can see the light dome of Tucson, and we can see the light dome of Metro Phoenix. To maintain the quality of that site, we really want to engage the entire state.
One organization that tries to do that is the International Dark Sky Association, based in Tucson. Scott Cardell is the association's public affairs director.
So we work directly with lighting manufacturers to try to get them to make dark sky friendly fixtures so the light actually goes down on the ground where people need it. We also try to see that they're getting just generally better lighting practices along the way. But also in terms of working with places where there are policies that can be enforced.
Cardell says the Dark Sky Association is working on a model lighting ordinance that can be adapted by any local or state government. Part of it is based on ordinances put in place by the city of Tucson and Pima County, specifically to protect area observatories. The association is also trying to convince communities to become what's called international dark sky cities. So far, there's only a handful, including Flagstaff and Borrego Springs, California. Cardell also points out that Tucson, while not a dark sky city, has done more than most to protect the night sky.
The observatories have been able to see that the lighting ordinances here do work. So even with the tremendous growth in population that we've had in southern Arizona over the last decade or 20 years even, the level of brightness above the city has not dramatically changed.
Dan Brocious is a public affairs officer for the Whipple Observatory. It's located in the Santa Rita Mountains about 25 miles south of Tucson. We talked to Brocious from inside the MMT Observatory atop Mount Hopkins, and the lights of Tucson were plainly visible through a nearby window.
Well, all of the observatories in southern Arizona are sensitive to the lights of Tucson and any other population center. With the advent of outdoor lighting codes starting in, say, the early 1970s, the brightening of the night sky has decoupled from population growth. You know, it used to move in lockstep, but now, while the population has gone up enormously compared to those days, the sky brightness has not. We're hoping that will continue, but we appreciate the support that we've received from the community that way. And it's not the light on the street, it's not the light in the parking lot, and it's not the light on the sidewalk that really troubles us. It's the light that gets wasted upward, not used for any useful purpose, goes up into the night sky where it causes problems for us, and doesn't help you find your way at night.
Earlier this year, legislation that would have allowed more electronic LED billboards in Arizona was fought vigorously by astronomers. The original bill was vetoed by Governor Jan Brewer. But lawmakers rushed together another billboard bill that they said better protected observatories. It became law last month. It allows electronic billboards in parts of Arizona, but not near the observatories of southern and northern Arizona. Astronomers aren't sure whether more LED-powered billboards will affect their observations. But the governor, in her veto letter on the first billboard bill, did point out that astronomy is big business in Arizona. LBT Director Richard Green.
You know, astronomy represents over $1 billion investment in the state and brings in $250,000 a year of outside new investment and operating funds from partners who have chosen Arizona because of its dark skies.
I'm Mark Dugan. Tomorrow morning on Collecting Light, we'll look at some of the ambitious astronomy projects on Arizona's horizon. And we'll find out just what drives professional astronomers to stay up all night looking at the sky.
This is Collecting Light from Arizona Public Media.